At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was time with this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back.
Now we hear. All right, we'll start hour two with a couple calls. Call for help. You want to join Apollo and Anton? What are we, 1-0 away from having that guy's full name on hold?
Oh yeah, we got Apollo Anton.
I don't know any Onos, but
if you want to call in
just for the vibes, you can. But let's get to Apollo first. He wants to talk about CJ's hat. What's up, Apollo?
Hey, what's up, guys? Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, first time caller, long time listener. But I have a little bit of insight into the whole CJ wearing the Seattle Mariners hat. I have some family that's kind of near where are you guys familiar with Nipsey Hussle?
Yes.
Okay, so it was his birthday on the 15th, and from where he's from in the Lawson area of L.A., where my family kind of is from, the kind of gang affiliation that he was with there, they are Crips, and obviously they wear blue, but they wear the Seattle Mariners hat because of the S on it and the navy blue coloring. And so it was, I'm not saying, you know, CJ's part of any of that or whatever, but he was wearing it around his birthday as an homage to Nipsey Hussle. That's why he was wearing the hat and didn't kind of want to get into all the details as to why. He was just kind of saying it was a style thing, but that's why he was wearing it. It was a homage to Nipsey Hussle.
I appreciate it, Apollo. And to your point, I would get why CJ Stroud would not want to explain why all of that is work going into
his hat. So it's blue for the Crips, understand? Like, I understand why he can't be at a podium.
Yeah, it's not going to go well. He would just open himself up for more questions.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that, Apollo. As I said before, it's two Americas. I don't know how many people. That's why you even try to look. This show probably of any of the shows knows who Nipsey Hussle is. We just would. But I appreciate that. Assuming we might not, because it's sports talk radio.
Yeah.
I get that assumption.
The other three shows. You have gotten.
You don't think Paul would know who Nipsey Hussle is?
I guarantee you he doesn't know who Nipsey Hussle is.
That's tough for Paul. And yeah,
Paul's music.
I think Lance
ended in like 2008.
Lance would know though. He may not listen to the music, but Lance would know.
Yeah, he would know. He would know of him.
Yeah, he would.
He wouldn't know that the marathon continues though. He wouldn't know.
He probably would know that, but and he would
maybe
know,
get Mason on here. He would know.
He wouldn't know the explanation either. He certainly didn't this morning. He was more like, "Hey, what's he doing wearing the hat?" To America's Lance. Anton, let's talk about this too. What's up, Anton?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm just talking about the little hat situation, man. These Astro fans are so sensitive when it comes to you not wearing their gear. I go through the same thing at work. I've been in the city for 27 years, but I would never wear an Astros, Texas, or Rockets paraphernalia. But they need to stop being so sensitive. Just because you live here don't mean that you have to support the team. And that man only works here. He's not from here. And the Astros fans need to stop that, man. Stop being so sensitive because nobody want to put that on their body or their head. I'm done.
Appreciate it, Anton. He's got some personal experience. Particularly if you are a fan of another team, the thought of wearing a hat of the team you don't root for would bother some people. And it's exacerbated if they're a rival of yours. So I get why. I don't know your exact reasoning, but wouldn't surprise me that you didn't want to wear a hat.
It is, I mean, it is sort of like the Jalen Hurts thing. the Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia wearing an Astros cap, and then when they played in the World Series, when the Phillies and the Astros played in the World Series, he kind of had to, like, you know, kind of hope both teams win. You know, he had to, like, you know, walk, tread lightly around it, and he's definitely stopped wearing the hat for the series. Yeah. And because it is, like, something where I don't, like, yes, Anton, like, Astros fans are sensitive. They're so sensitive. At the same time, I think basically any other city would have the same reaction, or at least every other city that cares about baseball would have the same reaction of, like.
Yeah, I don't think it's a unique reaction. Yeah. That
if, you know, Saquon Barkley came in wearing like a Mets hat, they wouldn't be like, hey, you know, he's from there. That, and I think the CJ Stroud thing that Apollo was getting at, where it's like, if he wore a Dodgers hat, it would be easier for most people to understand, just because it's like, yeah, he's from LA, whatever. But it's like, he's not from Seattle. Why is he wearing a Mariners hat? And you have to, like, do the, like, LA hat politics of what neighborhoods wear what hats and why.
Yeah.
And that's where, I mean, you just lose white people. Like, you just lose them right there. You lose, honestly,
a lot of people.
You probably lose most people that just aren't from LA.
Yeah.
And then you especially lose.
If you haven't seen
the white
one
people.
Of those videos where some guy breaks down,
I
all
have
the
seen
reasons.
It. Yeah. I think it's hilarious every time. Yeah. Because it's like,
where an individual will break down what all these hats mean and why you can't wear them. And if you are this person, you can't wear that hat here. I've seen those videos.
Like, I can't wear an Astros hat in the wrong neighborhood because they think I'm a Hoover Crip.
Yeah.
Even
if you're just in town to watch the Astros play the Dodgers.
Yeah. Or just in town. I need something to, you know, put on my head. Just, I have to pick a different hat. People think I'm, you know, banging.
Sean
Mapes,
Hoover Crip. Or.
Don't, just, that,
not,
I'm not.
He's not, by the way. He's not. I'm just saying.
I know how serious people have taken that.
If you wear a hat, it could signify what you are not.
Although I am wearing blue right now.
You're wearing light blue and honoring the Cougars. I don't know if
it's
that
swag.
Hat.
I'm not honoring the Cougars.
Okay, sure. I don't know what that hat would mean in Montrose, but in the Galleria area,
you know,
in the Galleria area,
from my neighborhood in the Lower Heights. Let me tell you.
Yeah, what does that hat mean? Does it? Are you signifying something? Are you honoring
someone? Heights. Hello.
Okay. Yes, Anton Apollo. We appreciate it, and CJ simply just can't go into what the hat means because it just opens up a different conversation that he doesn't want to be involved in, even though people who know will know what that hat's about. So
and
there it is. That's the controversy should be over, but
no, never.
It probably won't be because your starting quarterback was seen wearing a Mariners hat.
Yeah. Yeah.
God forbid.
I mean, we have confirmation from locker room videos that Nico Collins was wearing a backwards
White Sox hat.
White Sox hat.
A white White Sox hat with the black logo. The White Sox hat, probably more acceptable because the White Sox hat, generally the black one with the white logo, has been a hat that's been worn for fashion for a long time. The Mariners hat had not reached that level. That's why we need the explanation. CJ will be fine. Just throw touchdown passes.
Yeah, yeah. I think most of this is just like, hey, play good. I mean, he kind of did on Saturday. And if it wasn't a preseason game, like, we probably wouldn't be talking about it.
No.
But there's only so much that we can talk about.
If the Astros were
six
better.
6 for 8 for 44 yards.
If the Astros were better, we might not be talking about it. If they had a 7-game lead and the Mariners weren't a threat.
Yeah, yeah. Could have worn an A's hat. Could have worn an Angels hat. Well,
those would have been allowed.
The Angels would have been allowed because it's red, too, you know. The blood Texans fans would have been all right with that.
I don't know how much we want to play with this, you specifically.
Why?
Just watch it. I don't know. Just be careful. That's all. You don't know who you're offending.
No one, I hope.
That's why I said you don't know who. You don't know who what you're saying is offensive to. But CJ himself spoke about that, but we're not going to play that sound. We're going to play what he thinks about what may be his starting left tackle, at least right now with Cam Robinson being hurt. Here is CJ on Aronte Ursary, or as he calls him, Tay.
Hey, I think Tay has one of the best mindsets I've seen from a rookie, you know, in my couple years in the league. He texted me the night he got drafted, and I texted him. I was like, hey, bro, excited to have you on the team. And he was like, I'm going to die on the whole line for you, bro. I'm going to die out there. I was like, all right, bro, appreciate that, man. I respect that, bro. I appreciate you saying that. So that's just his mindset. He wants to, you know, be great. He asks the questions, you know, going against Will and Daniil every day makes him really good. And I think, you know, when he faces other guys, he's like, man, it's kind of easy. But he still keeps up that same tenacity and that same work ethic. So very mature guy, loves football, loves his teammates, and I think he's going to be great in this league.
He had a good day yesterday. Excuse me, Saturday. He and the rest of that offensive line did their job. Nick Chubb looks better in pads, looks better playing actual football instead of practice. Whether the explosiveness we've seen from him in the past comes back, that's in question. But if he's just going to be a 4 yards per carry plotter, that might be fine. That might be fine for this team as well. We await any word on when Joe Mixon will come back. And it led me to think about what the identity of this offense will be. Like, the jokes, because I was responding to the Texan account talking about, the Texan fan account talking about 4.8 yards per carry. But considering the talk about how quickly they want to get the ball out, D'Amico wants the power running game. Will this team be some team we expect to be explosive? Is this a team that's going to be a 10-12 play type offense per drive when they score touchdowns? We know Nico Collins has said that this team can, well, he's not interested in that. He wants to be an explosive team. He would love if it was one play and a touchdown, as we all would. But I don't know, as they try to work this offensive line into a unit that can actually be average. I think league average is the goal. I just think the lack of talent is going to keep them from being a very good one. But league average probably should be the goal. Is it a unit that will be protected a little bit more to not put them in spots where CJ's going to be holding the football? Maybe it limits some of their ability to take shots down the field. They almost had one, but it was like on a short, like a quick drop. CJ was in the shotgun, and he missed the ball to Nico Collins. So they went down the field, scored in the second drive. But the Nick Chubb of it all, some of the inexperience for your third or fourth wide receivers, unless Hutchinson's going to play more than Noel does. I am looking at that for the first couple weeks of the year. Will the explosives be down, and will they be more leaning into their defense? Their defense is one of the best in football, has a chance to be the best in football. Do you play to that? Is that the style you play offense? Is that the style of offense you play, excuse me, where we're limiting mistakes? Sometimes a punt is fine because you've got a defense that is going to get you stops and get you the ball back in advantageous situations, particularly until this offense comes together. For as much as we like CJ and Nico, the rest of this offense, well, not all of them are brand new. You got a lot of new faces, and that goes beyond your O-line coach and OC. How long will it take for this team to grow into an offense that can be an offense that's putting up 28 to 30 points a game when it's needed? You're probably not going to need it very much with this defense. So it is the right defense for an offensive unit trying to find its way. All right, we'll go to a break with that. Tammy wants to call in. Keith wants to call in too. Keith, something that probably hits you in your special places. We have a veteran free agent cornerback signing off the street, a big name, and he's in the division. We'll talk about that, but we'll get to Tammy first and then Keith after that when we come back. But first, I want to tell you about Monument Chevrolet. Simply put, it's a place you go to when you want great service from people who've been doing it for a long time, know what the customer is looking for, and will listen to what the customer wants. So if you are a person trying to get a car for a new driver and you don't want to get them something new, you want to get them something pre-owned but still dependable and drives great, Monument Chevrolet is the place you go to. They have that 6-month, 6,000-mile limited warranty. And with that warranty, you get a great car and the service to match, whether it be the salesperson that you talk to who isn't going to put any pressure on you to get a car, who will go at your own pace, or someone in the service department. For whatever reason that car has an issue, their service department is great as well. They'll take care of you. It doesn't matter what you're looking for. They're kind of like a one-stop shop for a person looking for a car. And if you're looking for something for yourself because you are someone who is done with your old car, maybe we would say a lot of red flags for that car. The brakes are bad. The transmission sucks. Red flags all around. You might even say this car and you have a toxic relationship. Go to Monument Chevrolet. All green flags. Great cars, new, pre-owned, no matter what you want is there for you. If you want one of those new cars, whether it's a Blazer or a Trax or a Silverado, it's all there for you. Check them out at MonumentChevrolet.com. See the price you want, and then get that price on-site in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And as always, remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
All right, let's get to these calls. You can follow them, 713-780-3776. Tammy just hung up. That happens quite a bit with, I don't know why that is, but recently, when Eric calls, there will be at some point a call from a woman who I assume has been put up to it by Eric. And sometimes they bail right before they're supposed to come on. That's
and
happened
they
a couple times.
Weirdly, always want to talk about what Eric also talks about.
It's odd. Weird, even. I won't use the word that John uses for that term because it's a crowbar and I don't want to do it. Odd, weird. Tammy, Cammy. Whatever Candy, whatever your name is going to be when you call back, you're welcome. But let's get to Keith here. He wants to talk some NFL. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale. Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me on. I won't be hanging up. I always call in. But, yeah, you got to tease it before the break. You know, the Colts looks like they're signing, you know, a veteran, Xavion Howard, former Dolphin, your team, Dale. He's been out of the league a couple of years. But my question is, they opted for Howard over Stephon Gilmore, who was on the Vikings last year, and I still think has another year left in the tank. Do you think Gilmore is going to get signed, or do you think the Ravens, who lost 2 6-round picks to season-ending knee injuries last week, should make a move on Gilmore, or does Gilmore have a home? What are you thinking?
Well, now's the time for all these guys to come in. Xavien Howard, you were right, Keith, who was out of football last year, but just the 1 year. He had a poor final year with the Dolphins. There are some off-the-field things, lawsuits involving women that he's had to deal with over the last couple years. So he's out of football last year. The Colts signed him. But this is the time where these veterans who don't want to deal with training camp, who still have some value, come in. Like Matthew Judon is visiting the Dolphins today, and there was a report that that's expected to get done, a deal. We'll see. He's a veteran, 33 years old. Just about that time where you're heading into that final preseason game, they know they wouldn't play in that one anyway. Find a team who's looking for help, and Xavien Howard fits the mold. What does he have left? Mostly because they are in the Texans division, and on its face, you hear the name. That's been a good player for quite a while. But 32 years old now, turned 32 in July, been out of football for a year. What does he have left in the tank? You mentioned Stephon Gilmore. He has been at least active over the course of the last season. So I'm trying to think. He is a guy who, as you mentioned, was with the Vikings. I'm sure he's got enough to be a third corner. Certainly someone you play on the outside, but he's 34 years old. Anyone depending on Stephon Gilmore at this time to be a big part of their team, you're desperate, clearly, but also you're probably putting your faith in the wrong spot.
Yeah, I think the 4 year difference, or however, would it three
it's
whatever
two,
three
no.
and some change.
Well, Gilmore will be 35 in early September, mid September. So yeah, about 3 years. Yeah,
I think that's the difference. It's just like the track record for 35-year-old corners is not good. Honestly, the track record for like 30-plus-year-old corners
terrible. They say you're on the wrong side of 30 when you're 29 and a half.
Yes. Yeah. Like, it's rare. It really is just, like, the all-time greats that are still good after they turn 30. So, yeah, you said it. Like, if you're actually depending on the – like, he mentioned the Ravens' six-round rookies getting hurt. Just like if you're depending on a six-round rookie, if you're depending on a 35-year-old Stephon Gilmore, like, things aren't going well. Things aren't going well. He probably will get a job eventually. Just there's enough injuries in the league that people need to sign guys off the street. So
yeah, the Ravens' top two guys right now are Nate Wiggins and Marlon Humphrey. So if Gilmore feels like a future Raven, like they always sign a guy like this.
It feels like the Ravens always have like the by December they're playing like a fifth string corner. You know, like they always have a guy out there wearing like number 38 that you're like, ugh, I guess they'll just have to try to make this work.
And I could see him joining a team in December. Doesn't have to be this early. Some team who has title aspirations thinks he's got some juice left after bringing him in for a workout.
Is Steven Nelson still a free agent? Maybe Steven Nelson can get
it. I thought he was going into podcasting. I thought he was done playing football. But
you can do both. Michael Parsons does both. He's the 38th best player in the NFL.
Speaking of that, we got to play this when we come back. Like the Denver Broncos play broadcast team for their preseason got fooled by a fake Micah Parsons quote.
Like an obviously fake one?
Yes. And I guess it talked about how Denver would be one of the places he'd want to play, and they went with it. And, of course, the perpetrator of the quote was like, they actually did it, much like earlier this offseason where the Cowboys – had a play from like years ago where Brandon Cooks made a play and they thought it was George Pickens.
Yeah, and it got on first take.
Yeah. So this continues to happen at the heights of sports media to, you know, the local broadcasts. Can't discern that wasn't something Michael Parsons ever said. So we'll get to that at some point. Look, we all get fooled. Something comes across your screen, but you think there'd be layers to figure out, hey, are we sure about this?
Yeah,
like a couple of people have their eyes on it, and it goes up the chain. Hey, we sure that this happened?
That's generally how it goes on shows I've worked on, where among the three people,
someone questions or at least asks a couple questions.
So once you get a group, like I can see how it slips by one person. I can see how it slips by two people, where it's like, hey, you know, if like I put something in the doc and we bring it up and we start talking about it. Like, you might also just go along with it just to...
Yeah, I've been on the air for 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
I might just go along with it.
Yeah, knows. But if there's a third person, like, chances are it's one person catches, like, oh, wait, this is from Scam Sharania, not Sham Sharania, or this from Adarn Schefter. It is hard to think that it made it past all the layers it needs to get through, even to get on a preseason NFL broadcast. Like, there's a lot of producers. There's a lot of there's at least two people in the booth. There's probably a third or fourth. You know, like there's a lot of people that have
someone go, huh? This seems weird.
Why are we the only people talking?
Yeah,
about
how do we get it?
About
and no one
Michael
else talking
Parsons
about it.
Talking for a paragraph about how much he wants to play for a different team. Like, that would actually be the biggest news story in sports this weekend.
And yet, we're the only ones who are talking about it.
Why is no one talking about that?
Ridiculous. So, we'll play that when we come back. It wound up on the Denver Broncos preseason broadcast. It's ridiculous that no one's figured out, maybe there's a problem here. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. We're here till noon. Paul Gallant follows us, and then the Killer Bees are after that. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
So the Broncos, in the middle of their preseason, nondescript. They're just going out there, getting reps in. But a fake quote emerged on their broadcast. So they don't read the full quote, so I'm going to read it here, and you can hear them start to allude to it and talk about it. This was alleged to have been on the Micah Parsons podcast, The Edge with Micah Parsons. My dream destination? Denver. I would love to play for the Broncos. They already got the best defense in the league, and they have a real chance at a Super Bowl. That has been proven to be something he never said. And as Sean pointed out, if he had have said it, it would be everywhere. It wouldn't have been only on the Denver Broncos local broadcast for their preseason game. Why no one thought that Adam Schefter wouldn't have tweeted that out, I don't know. But they didn't, so they talked about it. Here's a portion of it, a fake quote from a real player on a real broadcast.
A lot of fun to hang out with.
There's no doubt about that.
It'd be fun to hang out with. And here's, everybody gets Sean Payton some grief for saying he wants to win a Super Bowl. How about this? You got one of the best defensive ends saying Broncos have a real chance at the Super Bowl. So don't get mad at him, too.
Wow. This is now something we've heard echoed, though, from Drake Greenlaw.
All right. I don't know the gentleman speaking there, probably an ex-player. You can just tell by the cadence and stuff.
Yeah, it's Cynthia, Romanowski.
Yeah, oh, it's Bill Romanowski.
No, I don't know. Old Bronco.
Steve Atwater. But the woman was Cynthia Freeland, who I believe works normally NFL Network.
It was an NFL Network, or at least it was simulcast.
Maybe it was a full-on NFL Network broadcast. But either way, not true. Micah Parsons still waiting on his contract from Dallas. The Denver Broncos preseason team couldn't figure that out.
Yeah. I don't think they have a – do they have a chance at the Super Bowl? I guess they have a chance. The way that,
they made the playoffs
the way
last
that the Texans
year,
also have a
yeah.
chance.
Well,
like, they have
where
a chance.
It would be a bit of a surprise
yeah.
for them to make the Super Bowl. But sure, you make the playoffs last year, you have a coach that people respect, you have a really good defense, sure, you have a chance.
Like, there's the, you mentioned a podcast last week where they just, like, list, like, or they power rank, like, teams that can win the Super Bowl, and they go, like, 10, 12 deep.
Yeah, the Broncos are one of the teams they debated about, the Texans yeah. were the final you, team to make the list.
You get to a point where it's like, I mean, it's weird that it's like, yeah, 12 teams can probably win a Super Bowl and it's not like completely ridiculous, and a lot of them will either not make the playoffs or lose in the divisional round.
So when we say, while I get what you're saying, we say 10 to 12, maybe
yeah.
10 teams can win a Super Bowl. When is like the 7th or 8th team won the Super Bowl out of the top 10? Like in your own head, you think back over the last several years, when is a team... Like, the Bengals making the Super Bowl was a surprise?
Yeah.
But they didn't win it. Do we think the Rams were in the bottom half of that top 10 when they beat the Bengals in that Super Bowl?
I mean, maybe just because – a lot of times it's the NFC. It's just because for the last, like, 20 years, it's been, like, five of the best seven teams going in, five of the best six teams.
Our AFC team.
Just, yeah, it's like, you know, the Patriots won six and – it was never like, oh my God.
Yeah, never.
The first one was surprising.
Yes. Were they
specifically how they did it. But yeah, but even I mean, before the season, if you would have said that they won the Super
true.
Bowl, it's surprising.
But that's now 20 plus
yeah,
years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, off the top of my head, I mean, like, again.
So,
18 years ago, the Giants.
So it's good for a podcast, it's good yeah. for a segment, but in reality, how often does some team who isn't a consensus top five team,
yeah,
forget about win. Sometimes they don't even make the Super Bowl. Like it's Chiefs, Ravens, Bills, mostly the Chiefs, obviously, just strictly the Chiefs recently. And then whatever hodgepodge comes out of the NFC, which has been the Eagles the last couple, two of the last 3 years, the Eagles have been yeah. considered a contender for those years.
The Eagles and the Niners,
yeah,
basically, for the last
not a surprise
5 years.
From the NFC at yeah. all. That we don't have surprises really from the NFC. In the AFC, it's certainly the Chiefs in the AFC title game.
It would
and then
like,
we'll see if they win it. It would
be like the Commanders making the AFC title game. Like that's the or the NFC it, title game.
And then going
game.
On to make the Super Bowl. That yeah, would have been a giant that, surprise. They were in no one's top 10 last
exactly.
year.
Exactly. That's like the level of surprises that we get where it's like technically they had a whatever 25% chance of winning the Super Bowl that week. You know, like they make the Final Four. Like the Texans in 23 who when they traded their own pick at the draft for Will Anderson, you're like, oh my God, are they going to trade like a top five pick? And then they make the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, they never really had a chance to actually win the thing. But it's like that level of surprise is like something you basically only get in the NFL, where it's like team that was supposed to be like bad wins their division.
That's kind of the extent of it. You get a surprise in hell. The Commanders
or
didn't even
go on a run.
They didn't even win it.
Yeah.
They were good, but they didn't win their division
because
they had the future Super Bowl champion in their division. So Broncos, they're right in line with the Texans. Whatever fake Micah Parsons quote is out there or not, they're one of those teams who, along with the Texans, things go right. They get the right draw.
Yeah.
Maybe you see yourself in the AFC title game. The Texans have the benefit of likely winning the division and then having a home game. The Broncos, probably not going to have a home game.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not.
As much as we want to say it's the end of the Chiefs and so on and so forth, they're the Patriots to me. Now, they haven't won as many. They've won their three.
Yeah, they won. I mean, they got the first half of the Patriots dynasty done.
And did we ever, and while people eventually learn the lesson, didn't you feel pretty stupid saying the Patriots weren't going to win the division if you ever said that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time you felt stupid.
Yeah.
So,
unless Tom Brady's going to blow out his knee because of Bernard Pollard, they're winning the division.
Yeah, and that was on the heels of them going undefeated in the regular
season. And losing the title in the Super Bowl.
I'm in the same place with the Chiefs of just like, listen, I can sit there and look at the AFC West and go like, hey, you know, the Broncos, they look great on paper. The Chargers, year two of Harbaugh, they also look pretty good on paper. Raiders got better. They're not winning the division, but they got better.
Sure.
At the same time, it's like, it's the Chiefs, dude. Like, it's just going to be...
They still have Chris Jones.
Yeah,
all the
one-score game kind of luck they got to go 15-2, it's like...
Maybe they don't get 15-2. Maybe it's 13-4.
They can get better, have worse luck, and still win 13 games.
Yeah.
Like, it's possible they just get better from last year.
I mean, we'll see how long Rashee Rice is out or when that suspension will come. A lot of people are upset. More Chiefs conspiracy stuff because... Yeah.
He'll play like the three hardest games of their season.
Yeah, they will wait before his suspension comes down, and then you look to who was the receiver who did get. Oh, it was Addison who got his, but there were two different setups, and people were trying to explain to people who were furious for whatever reason about there are two different setups and two different processes, and that's why Addison got his, and that's why Rice has to wait for his, whatever. Either way, whether it be Rashee Rice available or not, Hollywood Brown, Mahomes is there. Reed is there. Chris Jones is there. McDuffie is there.
They'll figure it out.
Show me Broncos and Chargers before I actually believe any of that stuff. We talked about the Eagles in a passing way. Well, the Texans made a trade again. They always trade with the Eagles. It's their bros. When they want to make a trade, they generally trade with the Eagles.
I don't like that too.
That they have a trading partner.
With the team that's like the most well-run team of the last 5 years.
Well, they did trade Kenyon Green away for Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and Kenyon Green's hurt, not going to play the rest of the preseason, so maybe that's a win there.
Okay.
Maybe.
It's just, we talk about the Spurs, how they only make trades with bad teams, and like, not just bad teams, like, idiotic teams.
Yeah.
the Texans are doing the opposite. They're playing
they're only
on hard
trading
mode.
With the great teams.
Yeah, let's try to get one over on Howie Roseman. You know how he's always screwing up.
He's always messing stuff up, right? And they add a receiver in John Metchie. The Texans add a tight end. They add Harrison Bryant. They needed him thanks to the injury to Brevin Jordan Jr.
Body. Yeah.
Excuse me, just Brevin Jordan, not Brevin Jordan Jr.
And the Eagles made a trade last offseason, and an in-division trade for a wide receiver. They traded for Jahan Dotson from the Commanders last season. And that was a classic, like, oh my God, what are the Commanders doing? Trading a relatively young, talented receiver to the Eagles in the same division. Like, why would you do that? And Dotson, like, wasn't that good. Like, he was all right. Wasn't that impactful for the Eagles, but they still win the Super Bowl. There's a chance that's the thing with Metchie. It's like, what did the Eagles see in him that the Texans don't? It's like, it could be that, hey, they're just taking a shot, but overall, the rest of the team is so good, they're probably going to win their division again. Just by the strength of all the other moves that they made,
mm-hmm.
off the strength of drafting Jalen Hurts and trading for A.J. Brown and drafting Jalen Carter. It's like, I think that actually is more impactful than trading a backup tight end for John Metchie.
Well, when we come back, we're going to hear from the guy who most benefits from the John Metchie trade. And then I'll talk about a very funny tweet because the man couldn't even wait until John Metchie's locker room locker was cold before he announced what his new number would be. We'll hear from a recently acquired safety from months ago, and then I'll tell you what he said, or at least what he put out there, before we wrap it up. Paul Gallant at noon. The Killer Bees after him. We got one more segment. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So besides the game and CJ's hat, the other news regarding the Texans, they made a trade. John Metchie, former Alabama receiver, who we know when he was initially drafted, we found out he was dealing with cancer, and he's overcome that. You want to give credit to John Metchie for that, for still continuing to be an NFL player while dealing with all that. But his time with the Texans is over. They drafted two wide receivers. That could have been a clue, and they like Hutchinson. They brought in Christian Kirk. Does Justin Watson or Braxton Berrios make the roster because of special teams? So it was always kind of a mountain to climb for Metchie to make this roster. So now he's a Philadelphia Eagle. He is going to where Chauncey Gardner-Johnson came from. And let's go back to days after Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was traded to the Texans. He had his press conference, and he was introducing himself to everyone and explained what you call him. And he also had some thoughts on a certain number 8 that Metchie at one point had.
First of all, people don't call me CJ. Nah, I don't allow that. It's either CD or 8, which Metchie got to get that up. I'm sorry, Metch. I'm sorry. I love you to death, bro, but God.
So we never saw, I'm sure it's on the roster someplace, what his number would have been. Certainly he was in practice. Was it 23? I don't remember even what his number would have been, because I think he might have worn 23 in college. I don't remember. Maybe 22 is what his number was. But either way, we know he had a number, but now he gets his number, and not even – I'm trying to look at the time frame. It was at 2:15 yesterday. He just tweets out an 8-ball, because that's where that number is going. It's going to Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. So John Metchie probably hadn't even been on a plane, didn't even get on his plane to go to Philly, and he could not wait to let everyone know. CeeDee couldn't let it. Boom. Couldn't wait.
Eight.
Get this 20-something number off of me.
It was 23 is at least what the ESPN box score
I thought
has
it was 23.
Or depth chart has on it.
23 gone, 8 for CeeDee.
All he had to do was wait.
Didn't have to go through that, hey, Metch, how much is it going to take? None of that. In fact, maybe he had tried it, and Metchie said no. I don't know. Or
it probably was negotiated.
Or in your in the break, you said he knew. He saw that draft. He was just waiting.
Wait, they drafted two Iowa State guys and signed two white guys?
They already have
that can play special teams?
They already have Christian Kirk.
Come on.
That's already 4 guys on the opening day roster.
Yeah, they added. They added 5 this offseason.
Yeah.
Kirk, the two Iowa Staters,
Berrios
Watson
and Watson.
And Berrios.
And they like Hutchinson anyway.
Like Hutchinson, Nico, obviously.
Yeah. But, he was always destined to, at minimum, be on the practice squad. But on the practice squad, you can keep your number.
Oh, you can?
Yeah,
I didn't know you did.
Yeah, you keep your number on the practice squad. He would still have to negotiate it. But he was, at minimum, not going to be on the week one roster. But Chauncey Gardner-Johnson,
yoink,
got his way. He gets to wear number 8 for the Texans.
Just got to sit back just, and wait. It can't play itself out.
Sometimes you just got to wait.
Now avoid devastating knee injury,
which he appears to have done.
Got
very close.
Got hairy there for a second.
It was close.
It was a tough 30 minutes.
Yeah,
everyone did caps lock. Not.
I would say, yes, as they were being petty because of someone they don't like who got it wrong. The question for me is, if he did not avoid that injury, would he have gone 8-ball, even though it's a number we would never see him wear? Like,
I, you know what?
Like, if he,
given everything I know about CD,
yeah,
I think he would have.
See, my issue with that in this hypothetical is, unless they made the Super Bowl, he would never put on the 8 jersey. Like, the injury would have kept him off the sideline, so he wasn't going to wear the jersey during preseason. You don't wear the jersey during the regular season. The only time you would wear it is if they make a Super Bowl and it's media day. He would put on the 8 for the team picture and talking to people about his recovery and how he's so proud of the team. He would have never worn it, so there'd be no reason to ask for the number.
Just got
to
claim it just in case. Just in case they bring you back.
Considering his recent history, this is a one-year deal. He's not coming back. But he avoids the big injury. We're still waiting on a timetable for his return. But at some point, he'll get the number 8 here, thanks to the trade. Harrison Bryant in, Mechie out. The Texans have...
If I'm Harrison Bryant, I'm asking for 8.
Just to be funny.
Yeah, just see if I can get a lick in.
Yeah, just to see Harrison Bryant goes, I'll wear 9. You can't. Brevin's still... come on.
that's tough, dude.
No, you can't take a guy's number just because he's hurt. I don't know all the rules, but I believe that is... They're not going to give up the number just because he's hurt. He would have to ask if Brevin Jordan would say no. I'm sure Harrison Bryant's fine with the number in the 80s. He feels like one of those type of tight ends.
He definitely feels like an 89.
Yeah. They got all of them now. No cool numbers for the tight end group right now. Stover, Schultz, Bryant, they're all 80s guys.
Good.
Yeah. Traditional.
Yeah. You gotta put some years in the league before you can... That's my take on the jersey numbers.
You think
numbers.
It's like a college football? Like college football freshmen shouldn't get them? They should have to, do well.
You have to be off your rookie deal to wear a single digit number. Or an LC receiver.
What about in the teens?
Same thing. I mean, like to wear the pre 5 years ago when they changed this rule.
Sure.
You have to do, 2015 number assignments.
Put on the 82.
Yeah.
Like Noel did.
I was going to say, Noel, yeah, fourth round receiver. You shouldn't be wearing a single digit number. You have to wear a number in the 80s or teens, because that was still kosher back then. But yeah.
But rare.
Yes.
It was rare for a receiver to wear in the teens.
Yeah. Yeah. It was more rare. Now it's like
it's a thing standard. To do.
I think there's one guy who wears a number in the 80s who's a good receiver.
CeeDee Lamb does.
CeeDee Lamb. Yeah. Everyone else is single digits.
Name a great receiver who wears a regular number.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Puka Nacua wears 17.
17, yeah. Cooper Kupp, 10.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen anymore. You can't be good unless you're CeeDee Lamb without. And CeeDee, it's funny, CeeDee wore like 2 in college, but he's honoring the past Cowboy greats.
He got drafted in 2020, so he probably could have worn 2.
Yeah, but that's the legacy number for Cowboys receivers.
Yeah, I think when Michael Irvin and Pearson are like, you know what, we'll let you wear 88. Like when you get drafted, you're like, well, I guess I'm wearing 88 now. Yeah, I wasn't planning on it. But
you out here mentioning Drew Pearson. But what about Des Bryant? Drew Pearson.
It's a Hall of Famer.
I know. I'm kidding.
Des Bryant, he's 3rd. Actually, now he's 4th.
Yeah.
After CeeDee Lamb.
Let's be clear. And I don't know the entirety of Cowboys. Yeah, wide receiver history, but he might not be 4th. I just don't know.
Did Miles Austin wear that?
No, he did not wear that. He was one of the teens guys back before it was cool.
Okay.
I think because he probably got in training camp because he wasn't supposed to make the roster, and then he kept wearing it. All right, we're done for the day. CJ hat controversy solved?
Both CJ controversies solved.
CJ jersey number solved?
Jersey number solved, hat solved.
We're the
only radio show in Houston that is equipped to give you the insight on why CJ was wearing that Mariners hat.
Yeah,
this show.
I will say to, was it Apollo? I appreciate the explanation. You ain't got to explain who Nipsey Hussle is to us.
I think it's a fair question.
He said he was a long-time listener. He should know about this show.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we should have explained it, though, for...
What? I know who Nipsey Hussle is. I did not know that was the reason until you told me earlier before the show started about
that
people were discussing that. Because I, you know, for some reason, I decided not to dig deep into why CJ Stroud was wearing a Mariners hat. I was like, whatever.
Not doing your job. Not doing your job.
That's why I got Apollo. Apollo, Anton, we didn't get an Ono, but we did get those two guys. So
we got Keith. That's close enough.
I'll ask him what he wants to go by next time. See if he wants to go by Ono. All right, we're done. Thanks, everyone, for calling in. The phones are back for people who were listening to John Lance and couldn't get in. You can for the rest of the day, hopefully, when What Have You Learned This Weekend makes an appearance on tomorrow's show. The phones will be still working. We can only hope. All right, since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
Shred up, Stroud!
I think it's inappropriate. He missed Nico on that deep ball. But still, beyond that, a good day for CJ Stroud. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.